I'm on the phone with Hanna Mermelstein, who is one of the organizers of the Birthright Unplugged tour. She joins us from Boston. Welcome to the program, Hanna.
Thank you.
To get started, can you explain what Birthright Unplugged is for our listeners?
Yes, Birthright Unplugged is an educational project primarily seeking to expose young Jewish people, mostly North Americans, to realities of Palestinian life under occupation. And we take people, our participants, on six-day trips through villages, cities, and refugee camps, mostly in the West Bank. We actually cross the Green Line into what is now Israel for one day to also visit destroyed villages from 1948. So we get a wide variety of Palestinian experience and meet with a lot of different people.
What do you see as the importance of this trip? It is a trip for Jewish youth designed to bring them into the Palestinian territories. How do you see the importance of this trip for its participants?
I think in the world in general, there is both a lot, and specifically in North America, there's a lot of misinformation about what's happening in Israel and Palestine. And also, there are a whole lot of opportunities for young Jewish North Americans to visit Israel on free trips, fully funded trips, like Birthright Israel, as well as others. And they don't show them anything about the reality of Palestinian life. So it's a trip to Israel to develop a love for the land and the people of Israel, but not at all any of the Palestinian inhabitants of Israel or crossing the Green Line into the West Bank or Gaza Strip. So I think... And I think a lot of the people who go on those trips are people who are pretty open-minded, don't necessarily know a lot, are going for the free trip, and probably would be interested in having a more broad and fuller experience. So we provide that for people.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the name Birthright Unplugged is kind of modeled off of that name Birthright Israel, but it's quite different. In fact, you're not affiliated at all with Birthright Israel. Maybe you could kind of compare and contrast in a bit more detail those two experiences, one that someone would get on a Birthright Israel trip versus on the Birthright Unplugged trip.
Well, I myself have not been on a Birthright Israel trip. I have been growing up. I grew up in a labor Zionist youth movement, and I did go to Israel with this youth movement several times. So I think I've done a lot of the similar things to what Birthright Israel does, but I haven't actually been on a Birthright Israel trip. And I want to point out also that Birthright, it's not only a takeoff on the name Birthright Israel, but just the concept of birthright in general, that the concept of a Jewish birthright to this place, even as millions of Palestinian refugees are not allowed to return to their homes, that we just feel it's important as Jewish people to oppose this very strict definition of birthright applying only to Jewish people. In terms of the trips, what I've heard, we started our trips, our Birthright Unplugged trips, last July, and half of the people who came on our trip had just been on a Birthright Israel trip. So what we heard from them is that on Birthright Israel, there's a lot of sort of development of love for the Jewish state, for Israel, for the land, for the country, a lot of touristy things, a lot of building relationships with people, not a lot of serious discussion about politics. So most people said they weren't really inundated with negative images of Palestinians as much as no images of Palestinians. And that's something I think is pretty significant and is also indicative of my experience growing up, is that I wasn't necessarily taught a lot of bad things about Palestinians, just nothing. So it was sort of this completely ignoring and denying the history of the indigenous people. And I think that's a lot of what Birthright Israel does. Now, the other thing to say about Birthright Israel is that they contract out their trips. So each one is different because they are done by different people and different organizations. So some of them are more political than others. Some of them are more outdoorsy. But what they all have in common is that they do not meet with Palestinian people, certainly not in the West Bank at all, and don't learn about life under occupation. And they're missing a huge part of the story.
Birthright Israel, of course, been doing in the past 5 or 6 years of their existence is they've managed to bring thousands of young Jewish people to Israel, and they do get a considerable amount of funding from different Jewish communities throughout the world, and also from wealthy donors. So they're able to do a considerable amount of outreach. I'm curious to know how your program has managed to do outreach and whether you've found considerable support within Jewish communities for what you're doing.
Well, the organization is very new, so that's the first thing to say. Our first trips were in July, and a lot of the outreach has happened word of mouth. We sent out an email announcement, but ultimately all of the people who contacted us had gotten it at least second or third hand or even further. There are people who found out about the trip who told us how they found out, and we have no idea how the people who told them found out about it. So a lot of it has been word of mouth and forwarding of announcements. We are actually currently fundraising also to continue to run the trips. We've only gotten one grant so far. We've also been supported largely by private individual donations and are just working to sort of keep going. So it's a new organization, and the hard part about, I think, raising money for an organization like this is that a lot of Jewish organizations don't really want to touch it because it deals with Palestinians and is in the West Bank. And non-Jewish organizations tend to, because it's a Jewish project, say, well, there's enough Jewish funding out there for Jewish projects. So that's the quandary we're in. But I think that ultimately, when we do more work on it, we will be financially in a stable position.
Just glancing at your website, birthrateunplugged.org, you and your partner, Dunya, who organize these trips, are coming from very interesting backgrounds as people and also as activists who've been working in the United States, but also in Palestine. Can you talk a bit about your background as a person or as an activist and what led you into wanting to do work like this program?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can do both. I can start as a person. Like I said, I grew up in a labor Zionist youth movement, which basically means learning the values of both socialism and Zionism. So a lot of the social justice values that I learned were from this youth movement, but also a lot of the Zionist values that I now consider to be contradictory with my social justice values also came from the same place. So I went to Israel several times with Hamonim, with this youth movement, and it wasn't really until the Second Intifada in 2000, I was in college, it wasn't really until then that I started to question and find myself in conversations with people that I agreed with on everything else. I was doing social justice organizing around a lot of different issues, and then we would have a split on this issue. And finally, I entertained the idea that maybe I was wrong about some things, and there were things that I hadn't thought through completely. And I looked back, I started to learn more and read different narratives than what I had been exposed to when I was younger, and got to the point where I wanted to express solidarity with Palestinian people, recognizing the power dynamic there, recognizing that Israel is controlling this entire civilian population and they're living under occupation, and that I, as an American and as a Jew, have a big responsibility in that. So I went first with the International Women's Peace Service, and both Dunya and I, that's how we met, is that we were both working with the International Women's Peace Service, which does a lot of human rights and humanitarian work in the Salfit region of the West Bank, as well as supporting Palestinian nonviolent resistance, which takes a lot of forms, but recently has been a lot of demonstrations against the wall, which is encroaching upon that area. It's coming 22 kilometers east of the Green Line into the West Bank. So we did a lot of work with IWPS, and then there were delegations that would come through, and we would lead them around sometimes on day trips around our area. And both of us got to know other areas a little bit more, and through various circumstances had started to lead other delegations on more broader trips around. But neither of us had ever done an explicitly, specifically Jewish delegation before. And we were talking last summer, last July of 2004, about the fact that there are so many opportunities for young Jewish North Americans to come on these fully funded trips to Israel, and that they're specifically targeted for state objectives. And we thought, you know what, some of these people would probably be interested in learning something else. So that's how the idea of Birthright Unplugged was born.
This is a 6-day trip, and for $350 American, people get walked through quite an interesting itinerary. Can you take us through those 6 days and give us an idea of what Birthright Unplugged would entail?
Sure. So we meet in Jerusalem, in the Old City, and We have our orientation there. So we do some training, some cultural training, and just sort of getting to know each other and developing the group a little bit. And then we have a talk that's kind of a political briefing from somebody who works with the Palestinian Negotiation Support Unit, who can give sort of this overall political talk that's probably expressing different things than overall political talks that people have gotten either the previous week on other tours or in other education that they've had. So we start with that, and then the next day and that night we have a Shabbat dinner, or if it's not on a Friday, just a dinner, with Israeli activists. So we think it's important, although people have been exposed to Israelis a lot, they haven't necessarily been exposed to Israelis who work in solidarity with Palestinians. So we have a dinner and a panel with Israeli activists working on a variety of issues. The next morning, we turn to the West Bank. So we go to Bethlehem first, and we spend half of the day looking at Bethlehem as a city that's now three-quarters closed by the wall. So we look at the wall, we take a tour of the wall in the Bethlehem area, and we also spend half the day in the Dehesha refugee camp, which has a lot of really interesting projects going on, and also I think is an eye-opening experience for people to see this is what a refugee camp is, these are the issues that these people are talking about, and this is what they're feeling about everything that's happening. And we do, one of the organizations has a circus troupe, so we see them perform their circus acts as well as their improv theater about their daily life. So some of it's funny and entertaining, some of it's really poignant, like the Checkpoint improv theater that they do, for example. And then we stay with Palestinian families in the camp and around the camp in Bethlehem. So we have a homestay, and it's for that night and the next night with the same family, so they can develop some sort of relationship with people. And the next day, we go to Hebron, to Khalil, and that's a city that is very, extremely under occupation in a different way than most of the West Bank, with the exception maybe of Jerusalem, in that settlers are actually living inside the city, inside the same building sometimes as Palestinians, just taking over the top floors. So we have a Palestinian tour guide take us around and just show us the issues for the people living in Hebron. We also visit a family who lives in a neighborhood that's been almost entirely taken over by Israeli settlers, and his kids every day get stoned by the settlers as they go to school. His daughter's 9-year-old daughter, a couple weeks before we got there to visit last time, had been kidnapped by the settlers for about a half hour or so by the settler kids. So some really intense issues that just walking around and meeting people, this is what we're exposed to. So that's day three. And then we go back up to Bethlehem, to Dehesha, and stay with the families again. And day four, we head back towards Jerusalem and have a tour of the wall and settlements in the Jerusalem area. And that tour is given by ICAD, the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. So we have this tour, and then we go up to Ramallah. And passing from Jerusalem to Ramallah is an experience all of on its own, which is going through the Calandia checkpoint, which is being more and more institutionalized and made more and more permanent with the structures that are being built and also the wall that's coming up to the checkpoint. So we go into Ramallah, and we meet with a representative from the Palestinian Authority as well as a conflict resolution organization. So those are two meetings that we do in Ramallah. And with the conflict resolution organization, it's young people also, so it's one of the only experiences they get where it's their Palestinian peers that they're meeting, and so we have dinner with this organization. After that, we go back to Jerusalem to sleep. The next day, we go up to the north, and this is the region that Dunya and I know the best because it's where we work with the International Women's Peace Service, and this is the Salfit region. So we go and we visit the International Women's Peace Service. We also visit a family that's completely surrounded by the wall. And we also visit a Palestinian women's organization and girls organization that are working both to fight against the occupation, demonstrations against the wall, and also confidence building and leadership development among themselves within their own society. So we visit with them, and we sleep in that area that night. And then the next day, which is our last day, day six, we go into we cross the Green Line for the only time, and we go west of the Green Line into Israel. We go to the Nazareth area and also Ein Hod, Ein Hod is a very interesting village because it was not destroyed in 1948. All of the residents were expelled, but most of the buildings still remain. And a couple of years later, Israelis moved in and established an artist colony there. So it's a Jewish-Israeli artist colony now, and all the Palestinians who were expelled fled to a hill that's a couple kilometers up the hill, still called Ein Hod, their community, and their village was unrecognized until a couple years ago, meaning they didn't have water, electricity, any of these services that the government provides. And so we learn from them, from these internally displaced refugees who may have Israeli citizenship but don't necessarily have the rights that Jewish Israelis have. So we learn about that. And then we go to Nazareth and a village near Nazareth called Seforia, where that has been completely destroyed. So we see a picture from the 1940s of all these houses on the hill, and we go look at the hill, and now it's all these pine trees that have been planted by the Jewish National Fund, which I think is a poignant moment for a lot of the participants of our trip, and was for me the first time I saw it, because I grew up, like many North American Jews, putting quarters in these little boxes in my synagogue that said, plant a tree in Israel. And now I know where those quarters went and what those trees were, where those trees were being built and why. And then we go back to Jerusalem and we have our closing dinner. And we talk about the future, keeping in touch, making commitments for what people feel like they can do, whether it's, you know, organizing something on a campus or just talking to their parents about the experience, whatever it is that people are able to do as they come back to the States or Canada.
And what are you hoping that participants do walk away from the trip with?
We do as much as possible to expose people to the reality of Palestinian life, and we are hoping that people are open enough to experience it. I think it's pretty impossible to spend 6 days hanging out with Palestinians in the West Bank and not have an incredibly moving experience. So we basically just facilitate this experience. We hope that people walk away with more of a sense of truth and honesty about the situation, and a commitment to bringing justice, however they see that justice can be brought. There are different campaigns that I find inspiring in the States that if people, and in Canada, that if people got involved with, we'd be happy, but we're not specifically pushing people in any particular direction with that.
So that's Birthright Unplugged. You have two trips that are coming up in the near future. One is from January 1st to the 6th, 2006. Then the next starts January 10th to the 16th. Can you give us some information how people can get in touch if they're interested in Birthright Unplugged?
Yes, you can visit our website at birthrightunplugged.org, and all of the information about how to apply, the application, and our email address is all on that site.
Okay, great. We've been speaking with Hannah Mermelstein, who is one of the founders of Birthright Unplugged and an organizer, speaking with us from Boston. Thank you so much for being on the phone with us today, Hannah.
Thank you, Aaron.